Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Monday morning edition as we start a new week here. And as we open up with this week, let's go ahead on and make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and that his mercy endures forever. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Amen. And so that's you and I that he has made free from where? The hand of the enemy. And so this morning, as we open up, this is week two of dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we've been ministering about sharing with you about the Holy Spirit for right at about, this will be our third week, I think so, going into our fourth week, really, and about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the whole subject of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the Spirit, whether we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, it is all under the heading of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We just subtitle these things to put more attention on what we're trying to get out. And so last week and this week, what we're trying to get out is to give you the understanding that there are different manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. I think when we put them all together, there are about 32 gifts of the Spirit, okay? But sometimes when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we mainly look at, you know, especially if you're Spirit-filled, saved and Spirit-filled, we look at the gifts of the Spirit, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which started at verses 7 through 11. And those gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning the Spirit, working of miracles, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And so we'll look at all of those as when we hear in sharing with you about the gifts of the Spirit, that it's the only aspect. But no, you have the, as we talked about last week, well, I shared yesterday, in yesterday's lesson at the church, we have those that of the fivefold calling that have a gift, you know, and how Jesus said in Ephesians 4:11 that he gave some to be called apostle, some to be called prophets, some to be called evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then, you know, we have in Romans 12, we have the ministry that some are called, if they are called to be teachers, let them wait on their ministry. On the ministry, those who are teachers, let him teach with the simplicity that of understanding. He that prophesied is the same way, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. And then one is called to be an exhorter. And so all of these manifestations, then you can look further down in 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about government, it talks about gifts of healing, again, and then it talks about working of miracles, but it also talks about ministry of helps, or it called helps. And so what that is, that's a ministry in itself. Ministry helps is so vital to the body of Christ that without it, you know, a lot of ministry, well, all of our ministry will suffer, especially being a church or whatnot, you know, no matter what part of the calling you have, whether it be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the ministry of help is so important because these are people that God has put a light vision in their heart to serve you or to serve me, that has the calling to do what? To a congregation, to a community, maybe to a city, to a nation, even to a country. So, and you have to have help to get that done. And most of the time, you know, because of people's such love for what God has done in their life, that's why we call Ministry of Help. People will donate their time to do what? To see to it that the vision that God has given unto us, that it does not go without being attended to. And they're just willing to step in and do their part, whatever that is. Why? Because they know that the reward doesn't come from us as men and women, but the reward comes from God. And then there are times that we have to, as ministry grows, and you extend your hand to helping more people in the call of God, then there are people that you have to choose to put on staff. So a lot of time people in ministry help, they become those that you take out of the secular world and you begin to employ them into the ministry, the work of the ministry, so that they can become more proficient and that their mindset can only be set on what they've been called to do and not be divided between their secular job and the call of the ministry. And so, but those individuals make those choices as they grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in ministering to you along these lines about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we talking more of, again, picking it back up where we left off at last Friday in dealing with the subject about the part of worship in service, you know, worship, our worship as a part of our church service. And we'll share with you that there's two different types of tongues. We have our prayer language, which 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, and we can go back to that, and it says, for he that speaketh in the unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but he speaketh unto God. For no man understandeth his meaning or catches his meaning. However, in the spirit, he speak mysteries. So when we say he speak mysteries, it means in the amplified, mean he utters divine secrets, not something kept from him, but something that kept for him. So that means if one utters secret, then that means God wants you to know. So therefore, what we can do, I didn't always know this, but about, you know, maybe 20 years or more ago, I understood that you could interpret your own prayer language, what you're saying in the spirit. While praying in the spirit, you can gain understanding if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what is being said. Because what, notice what it said, for he that prays speaking in the unknown tongue, you speaking unto men. Now you're not speaking unto men, but you speak unto God. For no man knows or understanding the meaning or catches the meaning. It says, but how be it in the spirit, he speak mysteries. So that means if he speak mystery, and notice how I read in the Amplified, the same verse of scripture read in the Amplified version, he said, for the one who speaks in an unknown tongue, speak not to men, but to God. For no one understand or catches his meaning. Because the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truth and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. That means so. That means the Holy Spirit himself has to reveal to you and I what we are praying, even in our prayer language. So even your prayer language, when you're praying, what it does, and you know, look at the same, and speaking about your prayer language, go down here. And look here, and let's just start. Well, look at verse 14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now notice verse 15. It said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. See, I will pray with the spirit. So it's going to tell you, you need to pray in the spirit. Praying in the spirit just simply means, could be, two things. You can pray praying in the spirit. You can pray the word. You can pray also, again, not understanding the will of God for this, maybe the stance that you're taking. You don't quite know how to pray for this. You don't quite know how to stand on this. And so what happens is that you and I can begin to start praying in that prayer language that Paul talked about in verse 2. So when you start praying in your prayer language or praying in other tongues, what it does, it, notice verse 15 said, what then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with my with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing all, and I will sing with the understanding also. So what is this simply saying? You know, we can do them both. We can pray in the spirit, which has to take your understanding out, and I can pray with my understanding also, meaning I can articulate words according to the will of God. Now, but I can articulate understanding when I'm praying in the spirit, because it said, howbeit he prayed in the spirit. I like the way the Amplified version put it. It says, no one understands or catches his meaning because the Holy Spirit utters secret truth. So if the Holy Spirit is uttering secret truth, hidden things that is not obvious to my understanding, well, that means he wants me to see something because there's a hindrance there. My natural understanding possibly could be that, you know, when we see things or hear things, we want our natural understanding because of the worldview of how we live life. We begin to use our natural understanding to attack a spiritual issue. And that will cause you to have a headache, a spiritual headache. Why? Because you cannot use your natural understanding to attack a spiritual implication here. It may put a bandage on it for a moment, but trust me, without having the mindset of the Holy Spirit about something that God is revealing to you, it is, you know, you can put yourself you can get yourself in serious trouble. And so how does this work? So notice what he said here. He said, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but he speaks unto God. So if he speaks unto God, and notice this, he said that he speaks mysteries or utter truths that's not too obvious for your understanding. It does not mean that you cannot know that. You can know. And as I said a few minutes ago, I learned this about 25 years ago, that you can pray when you are praying in your prayer language in an unknown tongue. You can pray to interpret. And the scripture talks about that you may pray that you may interpret. It says, notice this in verse 13. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. See, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit pray and my understanding is unfruitful. So that means I can pray with my own prayer language, and I can trust God by faith to do what? For the interpretation thereof. And when I learned that and understood that, I look for that. Because that, most of the time, people who pray in the spirit, they don't recognize when they have an answer that comes and say, well, I'm calm now. I'm at peace. And it does put you at calm. It does put you at a calm. It does put you at a place of peace. And the reason is because why? Your spirit has revealed the answer. And then all of a sudden you have this mindset of saying, I know what to do. I know how to do this now. You know, we'll say something was revealed to me, something came to me. Well, the reason why we say that something is because we don't have no way of explaining or expressing. It was the Holy Spirit that revealed, or my spirit was being revealed through the Holy Spirit, that this is the mindset of God. But now, I'm sharing this with you because I also spoke in that way because I did not know. But when I learned that that's something inside was leading me, or that, you know, something just pulling me in that direction, well, that's the Holy Ghost doing that. Why? Because what's it doing? The Holy Spirit is out to reveal the perfect will of God for your life. And notice this, sometimes we would do, God don't make us robots. We will walk along a line that we think is right. And we continue to go down that path until we begun to pray in the spirit and you begin to get the Lord involved in what you're doing. And it don't have to just be ministry. Remember, there are more people with business that's out there in the business world, in the private, well, just say the private sector, whether it be in school, whether it be in the business world, whether it be in the political field, whether it be in arts and entertainment, that's just Hollywood. So I call them the seven pillars of life. So we need the Word of God in every aspect of life, even in our families. And so when you have the mindset of the Spirit of God, then He will reveal what you are praying in other tongue. He will reveal in your understanding the way you should go. And you just get up and just start doing. I mean, even in some of the work I do, some things that I come across. My wife asked me one time, you know, because I'm kind of like an all-around guy in the job that I have. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of things I never knew. But I saw it in my mind. It's like the Holy Spirit give me a picture, give me an understanding, you know, how to go about tackling it. And she just actually said, well, how do you know to do that? And I just said, I don't know. I just saw it and I just did it. Well, that's not me on my own that saw that and did it. It was the Holy Spirit within me. And when you know, sometimes you be around people, you see how things are done. But, you know, because you see how someone do things around you, you don't all the time pick it up right away. When someone else got their hand on something that they're doing, it looks easy until you have to put your hand on it. And now everything inside of you is focusing on making that thing come to pass or making it look like what, you know, you saw someone else done. And most sometimes it don't always come out that way. But if you stick with it long enough, and you know, and that's the difference that we as Spirit-filled believers have. When you begin to start praying in the Spirit, you have an insight. You have a spiritual understanding. What is that insight and understanding? You have the mindset of God. Let me show you another purpose of when you pray in other tongues. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 26. Romans 8, let me show you this here. Because I don't ever want you to be to the place that, you know, you let someone talk you out of not praying in the Spirit. Because I'm telling you, this is the most powerful tool, most powerful weapon against demonic forces, satanic forces. Why? Because the enemy can't do anything about that. He can't interrupt that. And if you don't have the right intellect about the Word of God, how to stand on these spiritual truths, and you know it in your heart, like you know your name, then you could be talked out of it. You could be, you could be talked out of taking that stance. Why? Because of the way it looks, how it feels. And then once you do that, then fear begins to come from the outside because of the picture or the image you have in your natural mind about the situation. And you do something total erratic to stop that process. Why? Because you don't have the understanding. You don't have the faith of God's word to know that, hey, God won't let you fail. God can't fail. But sometimes, you know, when you don't have that understanding, you have to go to the Word and you pray in other tongues because that's where your strength comes from. I mean, just think about it in the natural. You know, you say, man, I'm so weak in my arm. I'm so weak in my body. But what would be the first thing somebody would tell you to do physically? Well, you need to get an exercise regimen. You need to get on a weightlifting program. So if you get on a weightlifting program or whatnot, I'm not talking about something that's straining you, a weightlifting program, that's something that strengthens your bone, that strengthens your immune system, that strengthens your cardiovascular system. And then all of a sudden, you know, 3-6 months later, you go and grab the same chair, this and that or whatever, and all of a sudden you have this strength. Well, what happened? You put some resistance on that muscle for it to respond. Well, it's all I'm saying to you physically, these things that happens in the natural, this is the same way things work in the realm of the spirit. But you're not using a physical weight. What you're using the gifts of the spirit. You're using the word of God. And when you pray in other tongues, what it does, it is affecting you in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, which is your mind, your will, and your emotion. And notice this, it will affect your memory where information is stored. And so we got a lot of things that's stored in our information center. That's what your brain is, your mind. We call it the mind, but it's an information center. And there's a lot of things that's stored in there that is good, that is bad, and that is ugly. And so what you want to do is get the good, or you get the bad and the ugly out of there. And whatever good is there, it can be, you know, you can build on it. But you're going to always respond, you know, from a worldview, meaning the philosophy of life, which is the way you view life, you're going to always respond from that perspective until you see what the Word of God has to say. And then you begin to partake of it because now you understand that this is the way of the Lord. And so notice this in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit himself helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. No, notice it, he didn't say you didn't know how to pray. Because remember, in the 14th chapter of 15, it says, what then? I will pray with my understanding, I will pray with the Spirit. So you do, but in some situations, you're not going to know how to really pray about it. You don't have a way of understanding it. You don't have a way of expressing it. And so what we do here, so when he said likewise, the Spirit help our infirmity, it doesn't mean a sickness. It just simply means I don't have the understanding in how to stand for this. I don't have the understanding in how to do this. You know, I mean, even in the natural, someone would make, you know, tell you to, go and tape up. You know, I used to do paint and body. If I go tell someone, look, I need you to go and sand this car down and make sure that, you know, he may say that, oh, I can sand and tape. So I may tell me, okay, get this car sanded down and get it taped up so I can get it, I can put it in the boot and paint. Well, it's my job to go back and look at it and see. And so when you realize and look at it, well, he don't even know anything about sanding a car, really. He don't have much understanding about the details of making sure all the chrome and whatnot is taped up and keeping paint off of what don't need to be on it. So what he does? He lacks. And so he could be weak in his understanding. But once somebody reveals, show them how, or I show him how, then what happened? It no longer is a weakness. Now, because of his understanding, he can go about, pull that car up with confidence, sand that thing down. I mean, understand the reason for having it sand down and understand the reason for it being taped up properly. And when that car come out, on the other side of that paint boot, he can look at the work that he did, the prep work he did, and say, my God, that thing is beautiful. Why? Because it started with the prep work. Well, he gained understanding. Well, it's the same thing about the Word. We gain understanding. The Holy Spirit help us where we don't have the insight or the mind of God in a particular matter. It's not that we can't do something about it. We just don't want to just make the wrong choice. We don't want to act too fast because it's just putting a bandage over it. But if I want the resolve and to know that, hey, this is going to keep me going, then guess what? I need the Word of God, and I don't have it at the moment. It's in my spirit. But I got to pray it out. I got to, you know, it's kind of like a water well. I got to, you know, bring it up, pull it up. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, guess what? How would that flow? What I'm doing, Lord, I don't have the understanding about this situation right here. So what am I doing? You know, I'm puzzled. I got two mindset. I don't want to make the wrong choice. So therefore, guess what? My understand. The infirmity there is there is a weakness of I don't know how to go about praying about this. It doesn't mean I don't know how to pray, but in this matter, I don't have understanding. So what I do? I begin to pray in other tongues. Take my prayer and remember, I'm praying. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14 said, pray that you may interpret. All right? So I need to have understanding about it. So here I go. I could be driving down the road. Lord, I thank you for that wisdom. I thank you for your understanding of this situation, that the stand I need to take, the way I need to go. And I praise you. What I'm doing, I'm praying with my understanding, and I'm praying in the spirit. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I'm not trying to do it. It's coming up like that. So what am I doing? I'm gaining peace. I'm gaining a clearer understanding. I'm gaining access into the way that he want me to go. Because without it, I'm helpless. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so he said, likewise, the Spirit helpeth the infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he said, and he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession for the saint according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is making intercession, is standing in between us and the Lord Jesus, the will of the Father, of what Jesus has already ratified for us with his blood, so that we can make the right choice, so that we can make the right stand, and so that we can lessen the mistakes, the error that we are trying to help God, trying to move too fast or whatever that may be. I didn't always know these things in this light, in this manner. I just figured when, God give you something, you hear something of God, you just, you supernatural, you just going out all out and get it done. And then sometime it works out. But then most of the time it doesn't work out, because now you find yourself, you got to work hard at it to get this thing to pass. You got to work hard at it to get through this. Why? Because somewhere down the line, maybe I may have made a mistake. And it's not like that all the time. Just because something seems hard, no. Because the enemy will be at work against you also. But when you pray in the spirit, what are you doing? You're receiving a supernatural strength to do what? To move forward. And here's another attribute. When you have your prayer language, notice this in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 6, and look here at verse 10. And notice this. This is the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. Notice he said, finally, or in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. That your strength, notice it, and draw your strength from him. See, what are you doing? Draw your strength from him. Notice this. That strength which his boundless might has provided. So that's what you're doing. When you're praying in the spirit, what you're doing, you're drawing strength from that. And he's giving you understanding in your own intellect where you can interpret what it is that you're praying in other tongues. So it's not only just a gift of tongue that, we need someone to interpret in worship, which is, it should be when the gifts of tongue function. But I'm not speaking of the gift of tongue, right? I'm giving you more understanding of your own personal prayer language and why you should pray in other tongues, because number one, it edifies you, it comforts you, it strengthens you. And notice what it does. It gives you insight. It gives you understanding what it is that you're praying out in the spirit. Because you know you're not talking to man, you're talking to God. And God is speaking to you. What does God do? He will be speaking to you and enlighten you in the way that you're going. Because there are times when things don't look like they're going the way they ought to be going. There are times things appear to where I think I made a mistake. I don't think I'm doing this right. It don't seem like I'm getting ahead. It doesn't seem like anything is just happening. And then all of a sudden, you begin to pray in the spirit, and then all of a sudden, you become strengthened, empowered, as the scriptures say. Notice what it said here. It says, be strong in the Lord and empower. And be empowered. That's what strong means. Be empowered through your union with him and draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provide. So what are you doing? I'm trusting him by faith to do what? To enlighten me. See, all of it is about trust. And that's one of the reasons why I think some people are afraid of praying in tongues. Because why? It puts you in a position that you're vulnerable. You're not in control. You don't understand what you're saying. But you can understand what you say if you trust the one that's on the inside of you. You don't even recognize, you don't know how you're going to go to heaven just by praying the prayer of salvation. I mean, just think about it. You know, we say, well, I don't understand those tongues. Well, have you ever seen Jesus? Have you ever seen heaven? How do you know there's a heaven? How do you know that there's a hell? See, we do know these things because the way God created us, he created us to know him. There is a part of that's inside of us that knows that God is alive. But then when the gospel is preached, because that's what Jesus came to do, what? To establish the kingdom of God through words. And when he did that, the power of those words of his life is left in this earth, in this realm. The authority that he had that was in heaven, that rule and reign, he came here and put it here on the earth that we can rule and reign just like as God ruled and reigned over his throne. And you know that. You know that without a shadow of a doubt. But there are times that you and I run up against a brick wall. There are times we run up against things that just like a roadblock that won't let us through. And we can't figure it out. And sometimes in all of your understanding, you still hadn't gotten any better. But boy, the enemy is afraid of when you and I begin to start praying in the spirit, praying in our prayer language to God. And then why? Because then God's going to take that, and then he's going to turn around and open the eyes of your understanding, as the book of Ephesians 1:18 talk about, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, that's where your eyes of your understanding, one way of your eyes of understanding being enlightened, is that he will reveal what is in his mind so that you and I can now move forward. So when you have a word from God, or you have the way of the Lord, then guess what? All you have to do is say to the obstacle, say to the situation, this is the word that the Lord, you quote whatever the Lord said to you. And when you stand on that word, because it's going to always be a scripture. And that's why the Bible said, you know, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded where? Out of the mouth of God. So if God said it, then guess what? Whatever the opposition, whatever the obstacle is, you say what the word of God says. And you rest in what the word of God said. And then you watch the Holy Spirit, ministering angel, all the heaven begin to do what you and I can't do. Are you following what I'm saying? Our responsibility here is to put on that full armor of God. And when you put that full armor of God, what is it doing? That armor is that you're wearing the truth. So when you put that armor of truth on, guess what you're doing? You're trusting him. Notice this, and I'm going to close with this. We'll pick this up tomorrow. Notice this in verse 11. It says, put on God's armor. Whole armor. Notice it. Put on God's whole armor. And the armor of the the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategy and the deceit of the devil. And that's what you're putting this armor on. As an armed soldier, armed himself, you know, as a police officer, you know, as a military man. What did they have an armor that they put on to protect them. Well, the armor that you and I put on, notice he said, from the strategy and the deceit of the devil, is that you got to have the truth. Because it can't be with religion, it can't be with part truth or a truth. You got to have the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." So you got to have the truth in order to do what? As the scripture said, it said, "Put on God's armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategy and the deceit of the devil." Notice that you success. So you know that you're going to engage into a war. Because while you're dealing, notice this. Verse 12 says, it says, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, or contending only with flesh, physical components, opponents, but against the despondents, against the power, against the master spirits who are the world's ruler of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, having done all the crisis demand, stand firmly in your place." See? And notice it said here, "Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and the moral rectitude and right standing with God." So we'll pick this up tomorrow, but what is this simply saying in closing this out is that you're putting on the truth. You're putting on the way. You're walking in the light of God shining through you and I to give you what? Way of victory. Because remember, you're going to engage in a spiritual warfare. You're going to engage in a battle. And notice it. And the reason that battle is because, notice it, it is unseen. So therefore, the Spirit of God, which is unseen, notice it, he's teaching us how to war. He's teaching us how to stand against the principality and against the people that Satan has put in play to come against us as an opponent. But you're not coming against them per se. You're coming against that ideology or that error, the spirit of error, whatever that is, that's trying to give you make your life a wreak havoc. You're taking a stand against that. And so the only way that you can do that without attacking the person, you have to have a word from God. You have to pray in the spirit so that he can enlighten you and he can give you understanding, and then you can walk in the victory of that word. And you watch, then everything that is held up against us, all of a sudden your Red Sea will open up just like it did for the children of Israel. And you'll get across that situation in a manner that whereas you were not supposed to get over, you were not supposed to succeed, but you did, because you did what? You trust what you were praying in the spirit, and it led you in the way that you should go. Well, my time is come and gone. I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on your online Bible school with Grace Institute. I know some of these things to some of you may be strange to your hearing, but if you go back and look at these scriptures and study them out, you will see why the enemy fights so hard against the body of Christ from us praying in other tongues. And, you know, one of the weapons that he uses, well, you know, I can't understand what I'm saying. Well, that's a lot of things we do that we don't understand. You can't understand how you can breathe, inhale and exhale at the same time and still talk. There's a lot of things that we don't understand, right? But we do, right? But I want you to know that we love you. We thank God for you. And we're going to pick this up again tomorrow morning. And so, as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Amen. Bye-bye, everyone. Have a great day. Glory to God.